commence with the meeting. Let's skip over the investment report for now and go on to approval of the minutes. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes for the April 28th, 2022 meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee McDermott made the motion. Trustee Brooks seconded. And I note for the record that Trustee Ribeiro has joined us. Any discussion on the minutes? Any discussion here? Yeah, all those in favor, Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Brooks?
Aye.
Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee Ribeiro?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. So the minutes, approval of the minutes passes. Item three, administrative matters, approval of the annual report. Not sure if Attorney Cohen or Leanne, you want to give a little summary here for us.
This is Carolyn Cohn. Good morning, everybody. Under the special act that created this fund, the fund is required to provide to the Board of Alders every year at this time a annual report. And the annual report, so last year and the years before, you have approved the annual report that goes to the Board of Alders. It is prepared initially by the actuary, and then I review it. I've made some small changes from what the actuary has done, and then I send it back, and it's approved by the actuary. So just in terms of small changes, I did not include the two new trustees, Trustee Brooks and Trustee Vereen, because it's for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2021. And I believe that they were appointed after that. I did include the trustees that were trustees at that time during the last fiscal year. Dave Moran helped me with respect to the list of managers, and we eliminated one. I expanded upon the buyback for police, which had not been for sick time, had not been in it previously. And I corrected the paragraphs about survivors' benefits for police or fire killed in the line of duty. And that's by state statute rather than by bargaining unit, collective bargaining agreements. Other than that, I just sort of made some tweaks throughout, and I'd ask that if you've had a chance to read it, you approve it so it can be sent to the Board of Alders.
Thank you, Attorney Cohn. And it's been emailed out in the regular packet that people receive. Are there any questions here? I saw Trustee Cannon unmute. Do you have a question, Trustee Cannon?
Is that usually an indication to you that I'm about to get onto something?
It's just an indication that you would like to speak.
I am concerned. I have not had enough time to go through the full packet. There's 15 pages there on top of the other information we received early yesterday. Have not been able to review it all, and I would like to table it and move it to another meeting in order to look this over thoroughly.
Is there a deadline here? Or
that'd be fine. Yeah, there's no. Yeah,
no worries. Do the other right. trustees have any comments or issues with Trustee Cannon's request? Any other questions on this item? Okay, so we'll pass over it. Trustee Rebar.
Do we need to make a motion, though? Was that his motion?
I think we need a motion to continue
table,
it.
To table
yeah,
it.
So we haven't even moved the item yet. I think that the two options here, we can make a motion to table it or just pass over it. Either one's fine. But we can't table an item if you haven't moved it.
I recommend we make a motion to move this to the next agenda. I think that would make it easy and appropriate. Can just appear on the next agenda.
That's fine. Is there a motion?
So moved. Trustee Cannon, motion.
Trustee Ribeiro beat you to it with the so moved. Is there a second to Trustee Ribeiro's motion? Trustee Cannon. Can you just state that you seconded?
Second, Trustee Cannon.
Thank you. So there's a motion on the table to move this to the next meeting. Trustee Cannon seconded. Any discussion on that motion? Any discussion? All those in favor, Trustee Ribeiro?
Aye.
Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee Brooks?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. A note for the record that Trustee Vereen has joined us. Good to see you, Trustee Vereen. Let's move on to item four, information only. This is age annuity retirement. Just note Joshua Armistead, Rosalie Reed, David Zawesky, and their age annuity retirement. Item five, age annuity retirement and service-connected disability for Robert Maturo. I recommend that we go into executive session for this one. So is there a motion to go into executive session?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Brooks.
Second.
And there's a second by Trustee Ribeiro. And I would take into executive session Attorney Cohn, Eve DeSant, and Leanna Ambersley. Is there anyone else that needs to come in other than the trustees? Okay. All those in favor of going into executive session, please signify by saying aye. Trustee Brooks?
Aye.
Trustee Ribeiro?
Aye.
Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee Vereen? You're on mute.
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. So if you could bring us over to executive session. Thanks. And item eight, survivor death after retirement information only, Barbara Cavanaugh. If we could take a moment to have a moment of silence for passing of those individuals. Thank you all. Item nine, payment of the bills. Is there a motion to approve payment of the bills?
So moved.
There's a motion by Trustee McDermott. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion on payment of the bills? Trustee Brooks made that second. Any discussion? All those in favor of approving payment of the bills, please say aye. Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Brooks?
Aye.
Trustee Vereen?
Aye.
Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee Ribeiro?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well, so that item passes. Item 10, old business. Any old business here?
So this is Carolyn Cohn, and I thought I would bring up probably a sensitive topic, which was the vote last time on Officer Ferraro. I thought there was a vote, but there was no discussion in public session as to the basis for each person's vote. And I thought that was important for two reasons. One is Mr. Ferraro was given, we have a reconsideration policy regulation, and he's allowed to come back within 2 years with new evidence. So I thought it was important that he be know why the two people who voted against him not approve the disability did so, so that if he chooses to secure new evidence, he would do that with those votes in mind. And then the other reason I thought was if there is a reviewing administrative body or a reviewing court a court really would not know why people voted yes or no for his disability application. So if the trustees wish, it's my recommendation that we put on the record the basis for each vote without disclosing actually medical evidence or his medical condition, if possible.
Thank you, Attorney Cohen. If I could add to that, a reminder. So last time in attendance were myself, Trustee Vereen, Trustee Cannon, and Trustee McDermott. And on the item that Attorney Cohen is referencing, Trustee Vereen and I voted no, Trustee Cannon and Trustee McDermott voted yes. And I can say, and we can, each one of us can go around with the reasoning for the vote. But we had in a previous meeting written Yale Occupational asking if they were aware of a second car accident and in their evaluation. They consequently made a phone call to the officer and had a discussion. They did not change their recommendation. However, our own workers' compensation evaluation had deemed him fit to go back to work, and the officer had not signed a release to the workers' compensation for additional medical information, which is quite significant because workers' compensation was not able to get enough information to do any further evaluation. And therefore, we were not able to get a full picture of the medical condition. And given that he has not been forthcoming with medical information, initially to Yale Occupational, but that was clarified, but more importantly to workers' comp, and he's unwilling to provide that release still to this day, our workers' compensation can't provide us a full assessment of his full ability to work. And that is why I voted to approve or to not approve his request. Trustee Vereen?
I voted not to approve his request because I felt like there wasn't basically what the mayor just said, that we was that he was not forthcoming in releasing his medical records due to the to the other incident, and that was not disclosed to the doctor, and I don't think they could make a good an assessment if they don't have all of the information.
Okay, thank you, Trustee Vereen. Trustee McDermott.
I was adhering to the medical report through the physician that that we contract. The medical report was clear and direct and stated that his disability was legitimate. So I voted accordingly with in line with the medical report.
Thank you, Trustee McDermott. Trustee Cannon.
I voted along the lines of what the medical doctor reported. I know that this is a touchy political situation, and I feel that past procedure was disregarded in this vote. And Mayor, I'm confused right now. We just had another motion that you voted no to, and that was just to receive all pertinent information. But yet we had the pertinent information on that.
So just to be clear, we're not talking about that item. We're talking about this item.
I'm just looking for consistency.
As am I.
So that was where I voted my position. So my position is that we vote along with the medical report from the doctor that we contract with. My concerns at this moment right now is that Attorney Cohen has said that we have not properly done something as far as allowing discussion to come back in 1 month. Attorney, give me 1 second, please. So with that, I'm concerned that should we go into executive session to continue this discussion and quite possibly review whether we have to go back and start this process over again. I don't know, but I'm concerned that there's potential litigation from this police officer. And if you're telling that proper procedure in this voting wasn't done in the past meeting, then I think we need to review what needs to be done rather than just discussing it right now.
So this is Carolyn Cohen. I don't think anything was done improperly. I just think, as they would say in court, often the record needs to be supplemented or the decision needs to be articulated. And that happens in court all the time. And I think it will be helpful both to Mr. Ferraro and to any reviewing body to have the reasons articulated. But I don't think anything was improper.
Thank you. Okay. Is there any other old business?
Mr. Chair, if I can just ask Attorney Cohen, if she could just, for one more time, for my clarity, help me understand why that exercise was necessary. It seems to me that it opens up the board to scrutiny and to questions. And so I just would like some clarity as to why that whole exercise was necessary. Thanks.
So last time there was a vote without any discussion in public session as to the basis for the vote. This is Carolyn Cohn. And this may very well, as I think one of the trustees has mentioned, wind up either before an arbitrator or in court. And a court would have no way of knowing why people voted the way they did. And so that's why I felt this would be of assistance to any reviewing body to know what the reasoning of the trustees was. And also I felt, because we have this reconsideration regulation that allows somebody who's been denied disability benefits to come back within 24 months, with new evidence and have their application reconsidered, it would be helpful to him, if he was going to pursue that, to know why the people who had voted against him had voted against him, so he could, if he wished to do so, cure their concerns or address their concerns. I hope that addresses your concerns.
It does, but to your point, I guess my greater concern is, does having that kind of disclosure, and I see the reason for it, but does it open up the board to either litigation and or scrutiny that would be unwarranted or unwanted?
So I think that the denial of disability benefits always opens up the board to litigation, because somebody's not happy with that decision. So I don't think that the process of articulating the basis for the denial creates a more risk of litigation, but rather would give a reviewing body understanding that it wasn't just so someone didn't like him, you know, that there was really a basis for the denial and that there was a disagreement among the trustees as to whether or not he should get the disability. I think that would be of great assistance to a court.
No, I understood. I want to make sure it's not personally directed towards any particular member.
Yeah, I think that's the purpose of us articulating why each one of us voted the way that we did.
But it wasn't, you know, to clarify, irrational or prejudicial or unfair.
Thank you, Trustee Brooks. Is there any other old business? Any new business? Let's move on to the investment report.
Excuse me, Mayor, are we still on this?
No, we moved on to new business, and it seems like there was no new business that anyone had. So we're moving to the investment report.
I thought we were still continuing this conversation.
If you have anything to say that is articulate, if you have anything to say that is articulating what?
Mary, you are broken up.
Are people having trouble hearing me?
Mary, you're broken up.
Yeah. Mr. Ken, I think it's your internet because other folks are not having trouble hearing me. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Great.
That conversation was still going on.
Mr. Ken, it sounds like you had some issues with your internet. If you have anything additional to say on that.
No issues.
Okay. Either way, Mr. Cannon, either way, I am happy to give you another opportunity to articulate why you voted the way that you did for that item. We have moved on, but I'm happy to move back so that you have more of an opportunity to articulate why you voted the way you did.
Yeah, I just thought we were in open conversation. Mr. Trustee Brooks had brought up a question to the attorney. It appears that there's potential litigation out of this, and it does appear that way. And that's why we're back. Are we backtracking to cover our tails here?
Mr. Cannon, please do not use terminology that questions the integrity of people. Backtracking to cover our tail acts like there's something nefarious going on here, and that is not appropriate because people here are trying to do the right thing. You and all the other trustees included are trying to do the right thing.
No, Mayor, we're trying to get an understanding of how that went through last month without a discussion, and why you voted no when a doctor's report came through that stated yes. So that's where we're at.
No, we're all trying to, and the attorney is very, Mr. Cannon, the attorney has very clearly said that it would be helpful for people to just articulate for the record why they voted the way that they did, and that is what people have done.
Okay. Move on.
Got it. Investor report. Dave, you have the floor.
Good morning, everyone.
Good to see you.
Taylor, if you could bring up the report. Thanks. So then you go down to page 4. I apologize ahead of time. I'm fighting a post-COVID cough. So if I start, maybe Derek could chime in, but hopefully I'm
sorry to hear it, Dave.
Thanks. So this report is as of the end of April. And as you can see, it's been a challenging couple months here. What I'm going to focus on today is the fiscal year to date column, which is about 6 in. As you can see, the fund is down, obviously, fiscal year to date. We have another month or so to get the final numbers on this. But you can see relatively compared to our indices, we're doing well. So it's absolute losses, but good relative performance versus passive indices. So if you go down to the equity managers, it's a mixed bag here. Sizer, substantial manager in size, has done well, lost less money than the Russell 1000. We spoke to them recently, still very confident there. Atlanta, which is a core manager, just like Sizer, meaning that they're both growth and value, a little bit challenged here on the fiscal year to date. Let's see how they do coming into the end of next month. Aristotle, also, this is the value side of large cap, and they're being a little bit challenged here. You're going to see a divergence in some of these managers that, again, I talked about this last meeting, that is unique to this time frame. Usually there's not as much dispersion between individual managers. So there's a lot of reasons for that. And we can get into that when we review individual information. On the mid-cap side, Cook and Beeler. I'm going to be seeing Cook and Beeler down at a conference next month. And we'll talk about two portfolios that they manage. They've been challenged. Now, they're a great long-term manager for us, but as you can see, the numbers for the fiscal year to date have been poor. So we'll have a conversation with them, take some notes, and get back to you on that. I'm not going to put them on watch just yet for the small cap and the mid cap, but we will speak to them and bring back some information on that. Mutual of America, good relative performance there. Clearbridge, so this is a growth manager, and it's a great long-term manager. As you can see, if you go over to the three-year number, almost twice their index, but the absolute numbers are painful. We have an S&P 500 that's down 19% in 6 months and a NASDAQ that's down 30. So some of these managers on the growth side, which relates more to the NASDAQ, have been punished for that. Cook and Beeler, small cap value. The value has done a little bit better. And as you can see, again, Cook is challenged when it comes to their numbers. So we'll get an update on that. Next page. Channing. So Channing was on watch, and we actually took some money from them a couple years back. As you can see, they've rebounded strongly. Great numbers for the 6 months and for the fiscal year to date. Actually had a meeting with them yesterday. They were in town, and we got an update on them and some reasonings for that. So good bottom-up stock picking. They actually just got $200 million from the state of Connecticut. So that's a good vote of confidence. We're happy with that type of rebound for them. International, we heard from WCM last month. So we're going to keep an eye on them. They, again, long-term performance is great. They've been challenged as of late. They've gone through this before in these type of cycles. So we'll keep an eye on that, and hopefully they rebound there. MFS is a newer manager, as you can see, pretty close in line. We have another manager on the international side that should be funded shortly for $15 million. So it's taken a long time contractually and a long time operationally, but sometimes timing's everything. So the money's still in cash and they haven't invested it. So that saved us some money just for lucky reasons. Well, it's a fixed income. Now, you have not seen numbers like this, nor have I, in decades. You can look over there and you have, you know, double digit losses for some of these managers. So it's been a real challenge. You know, rates have backed up substantially from where they were. Actually, they've rallied a little bit in the last couple of weeks. So the 10-year is at 275, coming down from 3%. But as we all know, Federal Reserve is in a situation where they're raising rates rapidly. In fact, yesterday they had a meeting and some notes talking about they're even going to go stronger than anticipated. And I'm working kind of like my entire conversation into the report so that I'm not going to keep you all morning afterwards. So before we get into the cash and a couple of our non-traditional or hedge fund type investments. So we're looking to add, and this is where Carolyn could chime in, looking to add a fixed income portfolio to the group. As you can see, the traditional managers are having a challenge. We think that that's going to continue. If you think about why the 10-year and interest rates have come down, is because people are buying bonds because of what's going on in the stock market. Now, when that changes and the Federal Reserve is still raising rates, people start buying stocks again, bonds should sell off, which means rates will rise. So it's going to be, again, a challenging environment for fixed income. We need to own it for our IPS and our asset allocation, so there's no way to avoid that. We are on the low end of the spectrum when it comes to allocation, but I'm looking at a manager. We're looking at a manager that is more of an alternative fixed income manager. It's still fixed income, but it's a unique product, a very unique product. It's up 4% year to date. My question is to the board and to Carolyn specifically. We know SERF has changed their code of conduct or ethics, whatever, whichever one this fits into, so that when we have a unique situation or a continued investment with a manager we already have, we limit that search to just the one manager presenting. So what I'm recommending is that this firm that we've been kicking the tires on, which is called Serenitas, we'd like to get an exception or change to that so that we can bring them in for, you know, a single manager review. Because if we do a three manager review, you're probably going to get managers like Western and Cincinnati up against this manager, and it's literally apples to oranges. So I'm going to open it up to conversation.
I thought we changed it. I'll look. Well, we did change it for PNF. It's considered like a follow on.
Yeah, we did that. But this is not
a follow on. Is that different from what we're talking about?
The new investment, the new manager.
I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
So this would be a new investment with a new manager. Again, not sold yet. We're not going to buy anything yet. We just want to hear from them.
It doesn't fit into the change that we made because it's a new, it's not a follow-on, right? It says, let me read it to you. It's required to consider at least three money manager when selecting money manager to manage a portfolio, except if one, three qualified managers candidates are not available for consideration. Would it fall within that? Or the money manager candidate is a manager of an affiliate of a manager of an investment fund that is structured as a close-ended limited partnership in which the fund is or has been a limited partner and the private fund has performed to reasonable satisfaction. But do you think it falls within the exception of there are not three qualified candidates for consideration because this is so unique?
I believe so. That's my take on it.
Okay, if that's your take on it, then you can bring in one manager.
If the board is comfortable with that, that's what we'll do. If any comments, or you could let me know at the end of the meeting, or not. You just, let me know between now and the next meeting, Carolyn.
We need to. I'm sorry, Dave, to interrupt you. I mean, if that's what it says, and if you feel that there are not three qualified, I mean, we can't do this stuff offline, so we have to make that decision.
Are there thoughts from the trustees here?
Just a question procedurally. Is that going to require a vote, Attorney Cohn?
I don't think so. Unless people are really uncomfortable with it, then it would require a vote. But if we've been advised that there are not three qualified candidates available for consideration, then it falls squarely within the exception on the Code of Ethics for the selection of managers.
And follow-up question. So if we were to move forward with that recommendation now, and then there were new information that were to come up and we were advised differently, we could just reverse what we said we would do today.
I'm not sure I understand.
As of this date, it appears we don't have the three qualified candidates.
Right.
But let's just say we move forward and then we find in a month, 30, 60 days, 90 days, that there are other qualified candidates. Could we and would we be advised the potential for more candidates and be able to bring them in?
After you've selected a candidate? I mean, I think if you haven't selected the candidate, yes, you could. But if you have at the June meeting, we have one candidate and everybody approves it, and then later it turns out there are two others, I think you could not go back on that. I think we have to look at this point in time.
Just one clarification. I'm sorry.
The terminology is it's a comparable candidate, not necessarily a qualified candidate. So the problem is, and I've talked to them about other presentations that they've had, and they've had this issue with other boards, whereas it's a tough comparable situation versus qualified. So I just want to make that point. And that's the reason why, again, it's a unique product and it's tough to get a comparable presentation.
I think that comes within qualified. It's a unique product. So there really are not two other candidates that are qualified to do that product because it's unique, right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Okay. Thank you.
Trustee Huber, are you good or you have additional questions?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Trustee McDermott, you unmuted?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I understand what Dave is saying here, that that if there really isn't a solid apples to apples comparison to make, then it's a pointless exercise for us to compare things that don't really line up with the objections and funding of this particular investment. I mean, we have the opportunity to take a look at it and either approve it or move on from it, depending on what we're presented. And I think that's that should be adequate.
Thank you, Trustee McDermott. Any other Trustee Kennedy unmuted? Do you have a comment here?
No comment.
Okay. Any other comments? So it sounds like you're good to go, Dave, with the with not having three proposals.
And again, it's a unique environment with fixed income again doing things that it hasn't done in generations. So, to try to hedge that, we're looking for an alternative to, traditional fixed income managers, because we need to be invested in that category. But I'd like to be invested in that category with something that's going to hedge rates going up and our bond managers losing money. If you can go to the next page, I think we've talked about this. You can see Alcyon, which is our hedge fund, which has been very challenged. I know that SURF has brought them in. We're going to consider bringing them in for an update also. Long-term numbers are great. short-term painful. So if you want to actually go back up to the next the page before that, just want to talk about cash balances. We've been heavy in cash, which is good timing-wise. But again, we need to fund another manager with about $15 million. So we're going to keep an eye on that. And then, well, if we need, you know, cash flow for payments, we could, you know, trim from where we need it. But we should have plenty going into the end of, obviously, the fiscal year. And then we'll talk about money flows coming from the city later in the year. So that's that. If you can go to the page that says market data, Taylor, just a little bit of the same. I'm not going to bore you with this. It's all red. Not a lot of places to hide unless you own energy. So tough environment. We'll see how May ends. May's not been a great month, so this probably will not change. And then there's another slide about talking points, but we don't need to go there. I'm just going to give you a couple of highlights about where we are and where we might be. So we're still fighting the same things we've been talking about month in and month out. We have inflation, war, interest rates going up. So what we're seeing here is volatility, which happens in bear markets. So we're getting these quick 5 to 10% rallies, and then we get more news and the market goes down. So the good news, in our opinion, is that we have about 30 days, 35 days to the end of the fiscal year. Ironically, we're at levels that we could get a technical bounce. We actually mentioned it in a note a week and a half ago that 39.78 on the S&P is an area where we could see a bounce. It closed yesterday at 39.78. So if we could just get a good 30-day run here and get these numbers better, that would be great. After that, we're seeing a situation where the average bear market lasts about 7 months. That's an average non-recessionary bear market. So if we do go into a recession as a country, which defined by two negative GDP quarters in a row, things might change. But we're not forecasting that. We think we'll get right to the brink of that. But if the Fed does the right thing and slows the economy down but doesn't stop it, we should be in pretty good shape going into the end of the year, the end of the calendar year. So that's what we're hoping for. So to wrap it up, you know, long-term investors that are diversified, that don't need to sell into panic markets, traditionally do well over time. So we had a fantastic year last year, up mid 20% levels. This year, hopefully we rally back to maybe even or down a couple of percentage points. But if we average that out over the 2 years, we're far ahead of our discount rate, which is the whole, you know, name of the game. If you go back to the first part of the conversation, we're looking at about 10% year-over-year return still, given this current market, which is down the way it is. So we will continue to stay invested. We'll continue to look for ways to hedge our losses, and we'll continue to hopefully bring in more opportunities going forward, or remove managers that aren't doing their job. So with that, I'll open it up to any questions. Otherwise, I'll let you go on with your day.
Are there any questions for Dave? Any questions? Okay, thanks, Dave, for the investment report. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'm all.
Trustee Ribeiro made the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, Trustee Ribeiro?
Yes.
Trustee Vereen?
Yes.
Who made the second? Mr. Cannon, Trustee Cannon?
Yes.
Trustee McDermott?
Yes.
Trustee Brooks?
Yes.
And I'm a yes as well. Have a great day, everyone. Good to see you all.
Okay. Have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.